This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, we heard last week how newly planted trees and other garden plants have really struggled with this year's hot, dry weather. But whilst there are some losers, there are definitely some winners in the summer this year. And I think we're all thankful that one of the winners is butterflies. After last year, when it felt like there were no butterflies at all, this year we are really noticing them all the more. But sadly, not all butterflies are doing well locally, and the general trend for butterflies, well, it's not a good one. Which is why taking part in the big butterfly count is even more crucial. I spoke to friend of the show, Malcolm Hull of Hearts and Middlesex Butterfly Conservation, to find out more about these gorgeous creatures and how we can help them. And I started by asking him to explain why he thinks that butterflies are so important.
There's several reasons why butterflies are important. I mean, they're beautiful in their own right, and that's something that brings joy to a lot of people. We were out on a walk the other day with the children chasing after butterflies through the field, and it was just amazing seeing how good it was for them and the excitement that they had in finding them. I think that they do have a major role to play in the world of nature. I mean, most butterflies end up as foodstuffs in one way or another. An individual butterfly might lay up to 500 different eggs. A lot of those will be eaten when they're eggs by spiders or other creepy crawlies that are around looking for a meal. When they hatch out, they turn into caterpillars. Caterpillars are the most important foodstuff for a load of birds. Common things like the blue tits literally will eat millions and millions of caterpillars across the country each year. And without the caterpillars from the butterflies and moths, the birds wouldn't survive. You know, bats will eat butterflies and moths. Lots of other creatures like spiders will go for them as well. So they are a really important part of the ecosystem. And if 99.9% of them weren't eaten, then we'd soon be knee deep in butterflies and moths, which we're certainly not. So it shows just what an important amount of foodstuff they provide for other creatures. So yeah, really essential to the ecosystem. And yeah, sadly, they've really been doing badly. We think 80% of the UK species have declined since the 1970s. You know, in Hertfordshire, we've lost a third of the species we used to have altogether. So, you know, we are one of the worst performing parts of the country, without a doubt. And yeah, last year was by far the worst year that we've ever had on the big butterfly count. You know, the average counts were down by about 50%, which is what led us to declare a butterfly emergency.
Yeah, well, that's not good. And what you're saying, it sounds like butterflies are a bit of a good way of measuring the health of an ecosystem generally, the fact they've got different stages in their life cycle, and the fact that, as you say, they are so interlinked into so many different animals. So definitely a cause for concern, isn't it, when butterflies aren't doing well? So I suppose this leads us to why the big butterfly count is so important.
Yeah, well, the big butterfly count is the biggest single survey of insects anywhere in the world. It's carried out in the UK each year, and this year it's running from now until the 10th of August. What it does is the information from us gives us a huge amount of data which we can crunch and see what's doing well, what's doing badly, and how it's being affected different types of parts of the country. And that is really helpful to us in butterfly conservation. Our organisation has a lot of scientists on board, and we'll analyse that data, and that will help us determine trends and hopefully where things are doing badly, see if we can do anything about it.
Yeah, indeed. So talking about different species doing well or badly around the country, I mean, it does seem locally like butterflies are doing pretty well this year. But which butterflies do you think are the biggest winners locally?
Yeah, I think we have seen an increase in butterfly numbers locally, and that's what we'd expect in a much, you know, sunnier year than we had last year. But I think that, that doesn't impact on the fact the long-term trend is still down. You know, the species that are doing worse, I think, compared to even a few years ago, the small tortoiseshell's gone from being one of our most common and widespread species, also one of our most beautiful, to virtually being unknown. I don't think I've seen a single one in the whole of St Albans this year, whereas I can remember just on one morning seeing over 100 on my allotment not that long ago. So they've almost completely disappeared, and that is very much seen to be linked to changes in the climate, both the gradual warming, which doesn't agree with that species, but also the huge volatility that there is in the weather from when, you know, we're getting much more extremes of weather and lot prolonged periods of unseasonably hot or cold weather. And that does have a big impact on some of the butterflies.
And how about some of the butterflies that you're working very hard to encourage locally? Things like the small blue, how are they doing?
That's had a fairly good season altogether. We've done a few of our public walks at Hartwood Forest, and we found quite a number of small blues up there. The second generation, which comes out on better years in the summer, has been doing really well. You know, if it's a bad year weather-wise, then you hardly get a second generation at all. But this year we've had, I had a count of 20 up there not long ago. I mean, the main big concern for the small blue locally is obviously its best site has been the former Butterfly World premises in Chiswell Green, which have just been given planning consent for use as a car park and a builder's merchants, which is an absolutely shocking state of affairs and a dreadful way for, you know, one of our best wildlife sites to be treated.
How about some of the places like Greenwood Park, for example, where you'd worked hard to encourage them there?
We haven't had any this year. You know, the site is continuing to evolve. It probably needs a bit more seeding at present. But it has had them on in previous years, and I think it will recover and become a useful stepping stone. I mean, we're always looking at other sites and, you know, hoping that things like the solar farm in Potter's Crouch and the developments in East Hemel will provide more good sites for the small blue. And we're certainly having positive conversations with the developers there.
Well, that would be marvellous to see. And that's great that you're looking for opportunities even where development is happening. So let's get back to the all-important big butterfly count. So we're watching butterflies for 15 minutes and submitting our sightings. But we can make our data even more valuable by making sure that we're filling in the gaps in what other people have recorded. Can you tell us how we can do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key thing for the big butterfly count is to do it either online on the website or to download the app onto your smartphone, which probably is the easiest way, because then you can, you know, the location and everything and the counting can be done out in the field real time. But either of those will allow you to access a map, which will show you all the locations where people have done big butterfly counts already. And, we're really not fussy where they come from. But if you happen to spot a gap, an area where they're a park or a area of countryside where one hasn't been done, then very grateful if people want to go and do one there. And there's no limit. You can do as many 15-minute counts as you want. We just ask that they're done by the 10th of August. And you can repeat it in the same place if that's the easiest thing to do.
And have you got any tips for us to help us make it a little more productive, perhaps?
Well, I think the main thing is to try and do it when the weather conditions are really favourable. I mean, we usually say a sunny period between 10 and 4 o'clock in the day. But I think one thing I've noticed when we've had exceptionally hot days recently, that butterflies have tended to sort of head for the shade. They don't do that normally in this country because it's not usually that hot. But with the climate changing, and once it gets into the 30s, they're always trying to regulate their body temperature pretty carefully. And if it does get too hot for them, then they can just disappear and hide in vegetation and be hard to spot. So I would think a day when it's in the 20s and it's sunny is probably a good time to choose. Look out for flowers as well. When it gets warm, they tend to congregate around flowers. So if you look in a field and it looks very parched, see if you can find a patch of thistles or in the corner, and you'll probably find the butterflies on there.
Okay, well, those sounds like good tips there. And even after the 10th of August, our butterfly sightings can still be useful, can't they? Can you tell us how we can make sure that our butterfly
sightings... Yeah, sure. I mean, we accept butterfly sightings all year round. And probably the easiest way is there's another app called iRecord Butterflies, which you can download, again, and use on your... It's very similar to the Big Butterfly Count app. It just has a full range of UK butterfly species, as well as a number of the day flying moths that you can find around here. And that's very easy to use out in the field. And we get all the records that come from that.
Okay. And they're all great ways of, as you say, scientists who are studying butterflies to get a better picture about how they are doing. So could you just tell us, Malcolm, as you said, butterflies aren't doing very well, but you're working very hard to try and help butterflies locally. Can you just give us some highlights from what you're doing?
We tend to give advice to landowners and managers on things they can do on their sites that will help attract butterflies. You know, a lot of it is to do with getting the right sort of plants in. You know, and this is something that people can do in their own gardens as well. You know, there are each butterfly is usually dependent on just one or two food plants that its caterpillars will eat. So if you've got that food plant and you can keep it going, then you will be doing really well, and the butterfly will probably find it. You know, they're quite capable of finding plants from quite a long distance, some of them. A lot of the butterflies, their favourite thing is long grass, and the caterpillars will eat long grass. So an area of the lawn that's left to grow wild is a brilliant thing to do. A patch of nettles is another thing. That's quite a lot of our most colourful butterflies. Caterpillars eat nettles, so if you've got room in your garden for a patch of nettles in a sunny area, then great. But if you haven't, then encourage your neighbour to grow them in their garden, and then you'll still get to see all the butterflies, but you won't have the problem of getting stung by the nettles.
Well, that's why, you know, I think most of us should be able to manage a bit of growing long grass and growing nettles. I think that's even within the most basic gardening abilities, isn't it? And great to know that both of those will be, I mean, even though they haven't got bright flowers on them, they're still helping butterflies because, of course, the caterpillar stage is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I think that's the main thing. I mean, getting flowers in for butterflies is really cool. I mean, lots of butterflies will go for a wider variety of flowers. I mean, they still tend to prefer wilder and more traditional varieties. If you think cottage garden type of plants, lavenders and things like that are brilliant nectar sources. Marjoram's a great one at present, which are covered in gatekeepers. What we tend to find is there's always loads of nectar sources around for butterflies in sort of May, June, July time. But when it comes to August and September, or even in March, then there's not so much nectar. So thinking of plants that give nectar outside of that main season is probably the best tip I can give for someone when thinking about their garden.
And do you have any natives that would help bridge those gaps?
Well, I mean, in the spring, things that I have in my garden, things like primroses, they love aubrietia, brilliant nectar sources to have. And later on in the year, things like sedum, you know, ice plants, Michaelmas daisies are very good things to have. There are loads of things you can do. And I mean, they don't have to be native plants either. You know, non-native plants like buddleia, for example, are exceptionally good. This year we've been finding lots of butterflies on green alkanet, which is another invasive. And the good feature that both buddleia and green alkanet have in common is that they come from drier parts of the world. So they're actually much better than our native plants at holding onto their nectar for longer. We've seen butterflies congregating around both of those at dry times because they've got nectar when our native plants, who aren't used to this sudden new hot weather we're having, are not capable of providing it. Getting a whole range of stuff is good. And that's one of the reasons why gardens are becoming such important places for butterflies, just because the sheer diversity of plants and, you know, both as caterpillar plants and as nectar sources is amazing.
Well, that is marvellous to know that our gardens can be a real help to butterflies and a reminder that having diversity and, you know, having those flowers all year is not just great for the insects. Of course, we like it as well. So it all makes perfect sense. Malcolm, it's great to be talking to you in what is hopefully a slightly better year for butterflies. Thank you very much indeed for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
I was talking there to Malcolm Hull of Hearts and Middlesex Butterfly Conservation. Now, Malcolm is too modest because he did mention to me after I'd finished the recording that in the areas where he had worked with the council and other landowners to ensure that butterflies had the long grass and the other plants that they need and that the mowing regime was optimised for butterflies, that butterflies had actually increased. They'd recorded an increase in butterflies last year, even though the overall numbers locally had gone down. So, well, there is hope if we give butterflies what they need. And a couple of years ago, Malcolm helped the Wildlife Watch put together a list of 7 butterflies and moths, along with the food plant that the caterpillars of each species needs and the flowers that the adult butterfly prefers. And I'll put a link to that list into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. It's helpful, so you can look at that and think, well, I'd like to help this particular butterfly live in my garden, and you know exactly what the plants are that it'll need. And as Malcolm says, if you put the right plants there, the butterflies will find it. And even if your outdoor space is very small or you've not had time to plant any butterfly-friendly plants, you can still attract butterflies by making them a butterfly feeder out of overripe fruit. Apparently mushy banana works particularly well. And I'm going to pop a link to the Natural History Museum's guide to making such a feeder, again, into the show notes. It would be a great activity to do with kids if they were off school for the summer. Now, remember, you've got until the 10th of August to take part in the Big Butterfly Count. And if you heard the show with Andrew Ward a couple of years ago, you'll remember how painstakingly your findings are collated and analysed and put to excellent use so that we can try and ensure that future generations of children can enjoy butterflies as much as those children that Malcolm mentioned. So if you've got a plant in your garden, or if you've seen a plant in the park or the countryside that's particularly loved by caterpillars or butterflies, well, it would be great to hear about it. You can email me on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look out for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.